the OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio. OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
Now, also, before that game happened, there was another game at Croke Park where Cork booked their place in the women's final against Dublin. However, it was a game that was overshadowed by the scheduling, the fact that it was even in Croke Park in many respects. And I'm delighted to say that the manager of the Galway team who played in the game yesterday, Tim Rabbit, is with us to talk to us about what happened. Tim, good morning to you.
Morning.
It's fair to say that this was not ideal preparations from your perspective. Even before yesterday, there had been the mini controversy that brewed during the week about the game, which was originally supposed to be scheduled for the Gaelic grounds. Can you take us back to when that happened and then bring us up to yesterday, just so everybody gets a complete picture of how the planning for this ultimately ended up affecting you guys?
Yeah, this was, the game was fixed for the Gaelic grounds first, which was fine, obviously, and obviously that changed when Limerick GA informed that they, you know, the lads were training there, and that's Limerick's prerogative. You know, that was the decision they made. And why the game was fixed for Dublin, I do not know. Once it was fixed for Dublin, we complained to the LGFA saying, why are you bringing Galway and Cork to Dublin? Surely it's a venue like Thurles and Ennis. We got a lot of different excuses, but we never really got to found the real reason why it was. We accepted that. The game was going ahead. We understand everything that's going on at the moment, and with COVID and the time of the year that it is, we just said, look, we just go ahead and we'll play the game. And then, you know, that we accepted that. But obviously things changed yesterday on our route to Dublin.
So en route to Dublin, what happens?
Well, 11 o'clock, we were going into a team meeting ourselves in Kinnegad, just quick kind of stop over for a few minutes. And we were told that the Parnell Park was unplayable and would we play in Croke Park. They were looking to secure the venue and they were looking for a 1 o'clock throw-in. We said, look, that's great. Again, we want to be accommodating. Again, we understand the time of the year. We understand with COVID, like everything that's happened over the last couple of months, anyone involved in the team knows at this stage, you just have to kind of roll with it and just have to make the best of the situation. So we wanted to be accommodating. We said, no problem. That's great. It's in Croke Park. But I said, we wouldn't make 1 o'clock. We were given assurance that we were given sufficient time to warm up. And I said, once we're given assurance that we're given sufficient time to warm up and it won't affect our preparations, I said, that's fine. We'll go to Croke Park instead of Parnell Park.
How long do you need to warm up, Tim?
Well, usually a warm-up can go from 20 minutes to a half an hour, but like anyone involved, again, and anyone who's played sport is involved, but no, you need 20 minutes as a minimum to warm up. Like, it was a really cold, basically, day yesterday. And once we got to Croke Park, there was no problem. We were given our 14-minute slot in the dressing room, which is all you can do with the COVID regulations there at the moment. It was when we hit the pitch, the problem was LGFA officials, the referee, over to us straight away saying, you've got six minutes to throw in. Like, I approached both the LGFA officials and the referee, told them it was completely unacceptable, that we needed more time than that. We were given little or no basically respect at all. They just kept insisting that it had to be 6 minutes, the game had to go ahead, and the game had to go ahead. That's my only regret throughout the whole day, that I didn't walk off to take the girls basically off the pitch at that stage, because it was completely unacceptable the way we were treated.
Okay, so that's obviously the main bone of contention here then.
It is. Like, look, I had no difficulty moving it to Croke Park. Obviously, you know, it was fine. We were there last year and there was no issue with that. But it was the way we were treated when we got there. It was completely disrespectful from the referee and from the LGFA officials. They have to understand that the players are central to this, the growth of ladies' Gaelic football. And they were treated yesterday like we were at the bottom rung of the ladder. And it was completely unacceptable. There was no leeway. I asked for extra time to do the warm-up, and they just wouldn't budge on it at all. I said, that wasn't what we had spoke about earlier on, based on the time. And to be honest, sure, we obviously wanted the game to go ahead, but I should have walked off the pitch, basically, with the group at that stage, you know, because it was completely unacceptable. Again, it was not taking away from Cork. They deserved to win the game. They're the better team. But it obviously did have an impact in our preparation, obviously had an impact on our performance. But again, I want to stress that this is not taking us away from Cork. They were the better team and they deserved to win the game.
It must be very frustrating, Tim, given how much of a conversation there is around women's football and the growth of the game over the last number of years. And we've seen the record crowds at All-Ireland Finals. And here is an All-Ireland semi-final, as big a game as there's going to be for one of those two teams this year. And you get moved and moved again, and then ultimately a different story is told to you from what actually happens.
Yeah, look, I think anyone involved in ladies' sports understands what a fantastic, and particularly in ladies' daily football, what a fantastic sport it is. Like, it's full of brilliant people who do some really, really brilliant work. But there just seems to be something there from the LGFA that they just can't seem to keep pace with that as regards the professionalism that's required from them to ensure our support, that the girls are treated with respect and that the competition is run off fairly. Like, there's just, I've been 3 years involved in ladies' football, and I can come up numerous instances where it's just not acceptable, and they just would not get that in the men's game. And if we're talking about progress, these are things right in front of our eyes that we just need to fix. It's just unacceptable the way that happened yesterday. I actually didn't realise, I was so wrapped up in the team, that the game wasn't being televised. And, like, that's unacceptable to have an All-Ireland semi-final not televised. It's just unacceptable. That was the reason we went back training through COVID and everything else, to provide entertainment for people who were sitting at home, who couldn't get out and mix with people, to provide the distraction for the girls' families and friends and supporters of ladies getting football. For that game not to be televised, it's just unacceptable.
Tim, do you think this would have happened if the GA and the LGFA and the Camogie Association, the talks that we've been hearing about now for the best part of a decade, if they'd actually reached the end and this was all properly a unified organisation, do you think that would have happened yesterday?
Well, look, I don't know. And look, that is the way to go with it. And, you know, these are the same people that are involved in three organisations in many cases. So that needs to happen, you know, that the three organisations coming together. But yesterday, just if that is solely with the LGFA yesterday and the officials of Way, it just felt like they just wanted to get the game out of the way. And I understand this time of the year, and I understand with COVID, but just wasn't acceptable. And I really regret that I didn't take a stronger stance on it yesterday when it did arise at that, because we often, in our own group, we're always talking about high standards and, you know, that we wouldn't, you know, things that we're trying to implement in our own kind of group. But I probably let the group down yesterday in not insisting that we get more time in the preparation, or, you know, and that's something I regret.
And so you're literally talking about 20 minutes here.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about. You know, we got 7 minutes of a warm-up. That's completely unacceptable. It's just not good enough after driving up from Galway that morning.
Is that solely, Tim, because the men's game is due to throw in at 4 o'clock?
Yeah, exactly. Like, obviously, they had to give time for extra time, and they had to give, you know, and so on. And obviously, we had to be out of the stadium, and they had to clean down the stadium. I totally understand that. There was nothing wrong with that. But when we spoke earlier with the LGFA, I said, that's fine. Once we're given sufficient time, we'll be fine. You know, because they said, no, you'll be grand. We'll give you time and everything else. And that's just not what happened. I understood they were obviously in a rush and they were under time constraints. But if they had said that to us, that we were going to get 7 minutes of a warm-up, we wouldn't have proceeded on from Kinnegad yesterday, you know. It's just completely unacceptable. I appealed to the referee, and I said to him, if someone gets injured here, I said, it'll be on you. Because 7 minutes warming up players at an inter-county level for the pace of the game and everything else is just completely unacceptable. But no, he just wanted to push ahead. He kept blowing the whistle. The LGFA officials kept coming over into our group as we were doing the warm-up, shouting, you've got 6 minutes, girls. You've got 6 minutes, girls. It was just completely unacceptable way to be treated.
Tim, thanks a million. And commiserations on the defeat. But I think it is important that you kind of raise these issues so that everybody can actually see that there are still different standards when it comes to what's acceptable and what's not acceptable, and what's expected of women participants versus what's accepted of men participants. So I know it can't be easy to come out the day after you've been beaten and to have this conversation, but I think it's important that you did. So thanks a million for joining us this morning.
All right, Jeff. Cheers.
Tim Rabbitt there, the manager of the Galway women's football team, who were beaten by Cork yesterday. Aisling O'Reilly was watching these games for us. Obviously, that game wasn't televised in the end, Aisling, and I think, you know, a lot of people wanted to see how well that Galway team were going to do. They have been a team that's coming in recent seasons, and they obviously didn't perform yesterday.
No, and it was just a fiasco from the start to finish. You know, I was waiting for it to come on, and up popped an old game of Mayo playing, and I was like, what's going on here? You know, we had to look back on Twitter. There was a last minute announcement, I think it was 10 minutes to go, that it won't be televised. And you can understand why it wasn't televised. Like, I'm sure TG Carr were set up in Parnell Park and they couldn't move all their equipment, you know, quickly to get to Croke Park, and that's fair enough. But it's just the whole thing to be given, I think it was 5 to 11, they were told that they're going to be changing venue and it's going to be brought forward half an hour. I was just picturing those girls coming from Kinnegad and thinking, like, they're coming into an All-Ireland semi-final. What's going through their head on the way down now, on the bus or the cars, whatever way they came? All they're thinking is, okay, we've less time to warm up. My mom and dad can't watch. My friends can't watch. You know, all these things that shouldn't be going through your head and going to, into an All-Ireland semi-final, you know, it's just panic. So it's just unbelievable. As Tim said there, you can hear it in them, like, not to get the time to do the warm-up and for them to be coming over shouting at them while they're doing it. It's just totally unacceptable. And I just think that if we don't have these conversations, you know, nothing's going to change. I don't know who's to blame here. I don't want to say it's all on the LGFA. I'm sure, like, you can't control the weather. But, like, I think, why couldn't it be pushed out by 15, 20 minutes? You know, was that something with the men's game that they, I don't know, were they asked? Where, you know, I'm sure they wouldn't have minded by pushing it out. So I wonder why that couldn't happen. And then also another question we have to raise is, if it was played in Croke Park in the end, why couldn't it have been there in the first place? Well, you know, if it was that question. Easy.
That is a good question, because if you plan for this in the first place, then the fixtures and everybody understands exactly what's going to happen. And the TV thing, there's different TV companies who provide the footage, but the equipment is the same. And there were multiple feeds being provided yesterday from Croke Park to both Sky and RTE. And I'm sure a deal could have been done somewhere along the way for the benefit of the women's game. And again, if you had a central organisation saying, look, if this is going to happen, I need your help, there would have been an easier route to that. So there's a lot of places where this has fallen down.
Yeah,
go right
big
back
time
to the start. If you do go back to the start, Limerick, when it was fixed originally, when that first conversation is had with the Limerick County Board and they say, yes, you can have the game here, but by the way, if our hurlers, who you may have noticed are maybe the best team of their generation, win their semi-final, you can't have it here. The LGFA didn't turn around and say, well, actually, that's probably going to happen. Let's go somewhere else. Let's plan for somewhere else. But to go ahead with that, fix it, and then go, oh, can't happen here, and now we're going to go into this cycle of changing venue. Like, from start to finish, Aisling, it just seems insanity.
Yeah, like straight away, you're just... And that actually, that story nearly gets sidetracked because of all this, and that's a story in itself. And it's just always second fiddle, and it's just not good enough. Like, something should have been in place that, okay, yes, Limerick will probably get to the All-Ireland Hurling Final. We all know that. So, you know, why wasn't there something else put in place there? And then obviously to have the whole Parnell Park and then to Croke Park, it's just a mess. And it just overshadowed the game. It overshadowed the skill, the girls. Then obviously it's a huge occasion. You don't train all year long to not get a chance to go out and give your all on an All-Ireland semi-final day. Do you know, for them girls then to go and have to rush the whole process, for their parents and family and everybody not to be able to see it. Just, it's all one big mess, and it just says there's not a level playing field here. Unless we all come together under one umbrella of the GAA, these problems are going to continue to happen.
Cork end up annihilating Galway. It's 217 to 13 points. And this was a Galway team who made it tricky for Dublin last year in the All-Ireland final. Horrific weather conditions, so it's difficult to know exactly what the difference between the two teams would have been on a good day. But Cork are going to, obviously, they come from a winning football culture. It's been a while since they've been as good as the great team that they're natural successors to. But what do you make about what might actually happen in the final?
Yeah, like obviously the game, you know, was two goals in after I think it was 17 minutes, and that was huge for Cork. They really just got off the mark straight away. And I think that, you know, we've seen with Cork, they've played against Dublin in the, like, 2015, 2016, 2017. And there was great rivalry there between them two, and they got over the line both of those three finals. So there's loads of experience in that team, and there's a great rivalry. So no doubt, I think it's going to be very, very tight, and it'll definitely be no different in that. But I think something that Dublin probably do well is their running game, and it's something that Mick Bowen has really seemed to hammer home. They always break a pace, and, you know, there's support play always on either side. And I think if Cork can put a stop to that, you know, it can really make a big difference on the day. They're those Sullivan sisters, they're just epic, Kieran Deeran, Hannah Looney, and obviously Orla in up front. She was brilliant yesterday. She got 8 frees and 1 from play. And if you have someone like Orla who can really step up on those big occasions to, you know, taking the frees, and she's on form, you know, anything can happen, and it's going to be seriously close. I think it's going to be a really tight game.
Yeah, so it's 2 weeks. The 20th of December, is that when Dubs obviously have an extra week and they'll have had the opportunity to scout yesterday. Is that an advantage, or at this stage of the season, does it really matter that much?
Oh, it is. And like everything that went on yesterday, you know, it's going to, the girls are talking all about that now, and they're talking to friends all about that. And that takes a few days to settle. And I've seen a lot of the girls, like they were saying, oh, it's overshadowed again. Once again, we're talking about something else but the game. And it's just not fair. And of course, it'll give Dublin an extra week's preparation. You know, we've seen they had a few injuries the last day. That gives them an extra week. So, of course, it's nothing but a positive for them. But I've no doubt that the Cork team will be well able to put all that to bed now and to look forward to the 20th. And I think we're all in for definitely a cracker there.
It is a bit bizarre that an All-Ireland semi-final ends up not on TV in this day and age.
Oh my God, it's just unreal. I never thought in 2020 we would actually be talking about this. It's beggar's belief, but yeah, it's just very sad for them. Like some of the girls are making their debuts yesterday, and even that, like to be told you're in Parnell Park making your debut, and then you get a call, no, it's actually in Croke Park. So you're like, what? You know, that's obviously panic stations too. Excitement, but obviously you're not prepared for that. And yeah, it's really sad. And I just think we have to have these conversations like we are, because it has to change at this point.
Aisling, good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us. Cheers.
No bother. Thank you.
Aisling O'Reilly giving us some thoughts there, covering the Women's Football Championship for us over the course of the season.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.